ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 22 द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन गॉड रियलाइजेशन। राजवाच यता संधार्यते ब्रह्मन् धारणा यत्र सम्मता यादृशी वा हरेत् आशु पुरुषस्य मनोमलम्। प्लीज रिपीट। राज उवाच यता संधार्यते ब्रह्मन् धारणा यत्र सम्मता यादृशी वा हरेत् आशु पुरुषस्य मनोमलम्। राज उवाच यता संधार्यते ब्रह्मन् धारणा यत्र सम्मता यादृशी वा हरेत् आशु पुरुषस्य मनोमलम्। राज उवाच यता संधार्यते ब्रह्मन् धारणा यत्र सम्मता यादृशी वा हरेत् आशु पुरुषस्य मनोमलम्। Rajovacha, the fortunate king said, Yatha, as it is, Sandharyate, the conception is made, Brahman, O Brahmana, Dharana, conception, Yatra, where and how, Sammata, in a summary, Yadrishi, the way by which, va or haret, extricated, ashu, without delay, purushasya, of a person, manaha, of the mind, malam, dirty things, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, the fortunate King Parikshit, inquiring further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in full detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai ki. Purport, the dirty things in the heart of a conditioned soul are the root cause of all troubles for him. A conditioned soul is surrounded by the manifold miseries of material existence. But on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to dirty things in the heart, accumulated during the long prison life in the material world. He is actually meant to serve the will of the Supreme Lord, but on account of dirty things in the heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. These desires, instead of giving him any peace of mind, create new problems and thus bind him to the cycle of repeated birth and death. These dirty things of fruitive work and empiric philosophy can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable potencies. The persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with his Virat Purusha, or the cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potencies. Since the potent and potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. Maharaja Parikshit was actually directly connected with the personal feature of Lord Krishna, and as such he had no need to inquire from Shukadeva Goswami about where and how to apply the mind in the impersonal Virat Rupa of the Lord. But he inquired after a detailed description of the matter for the benefit of others who are unable to conceive of the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as the form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. The non-devotee class of men cannot think of the personal feature of the Lord. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the personal form of the Lord like Rama or Krishna is completely revolting to them. They have a poor estimation of the potency of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained by the Lord Himself that the people with a poor fund of knowledge deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taking Him to be a common man. Such men are ignorant of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. By the inconceivable potency of the Lord, He can move in human society or any other society of living beings and yet remain the same omnipotent Lord without deviating in the slightest form His transcendental position. So, for the benefit of men who are unable to accept the Lord in His personal eternal form, Maharaja Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how to fix the mind on him in the beginning, and the Goswami replied in detail as follows. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్నితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాత్ దేశధారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. This is a wonderful chapter called The First Step in God Realization. It's a conversation now between Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, wherein he is giving some very, very important instructions on the inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj. I will read the previous sloka to set the premise. O King, by the system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under His direct shelter. And today's translation, the fortunate King Parikshit inquired further, said, O Brahmana, please describe in detail how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. So I'm sure that this is very interesting to everybody, because the question relates with us very much. Dirty things in the mind. At least we have come to understand that our mind is filled with dirty things. Sometimes people feel very bad how to get rid of the dirty things in the mind. I tell them the first consolation is that you have identified that there are dirty things in your mind. That is one step. You are going on the right track. Because normally people in this world, they don't even know it is dirty. They think that is what our mind should be filled with. It should be brimming and oozing and overflowing with that. Is what they think. But the Bhagavatam very clearly states that these are dirty things. They are not required to be in your mind at all. We have to very carefully understand this. Our mind, our heart is meant for Krishna. It's meant for Krishna to reside there. It's meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be there. Then automatically everything becomes auspicious. Everything becomes good. Everything becomes good.
Sometimes.
What is good, what is bad, that also differs in people's understanding through that same mind. The problem becomes more difficult and convoluted. Because the same mind is used for understanding what is good, and the same mind has to be told what you think good is not good. And using that same mind, you have to know this with the intelligence. That is why the enemy is within, very deeply situated. That's why here Shukadeva Goswami is giving a brilliant explanation. That if we forget Krishna, forget ourselves and become involved in the mind and run the dictates of the mind. Harav avaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. Manoratha, the chariot of the mind, is running without any connection with the self, without any connection with the supreme. Then you are on very dangerous terrain. That type of mind should not be followed by the soul. The mind that is connected with the intelligence, the intelligence that is nourished by instructions from Krishna, from Guru, from Vaishnavas, Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, that mind which is aligned with the intelligence that is nourished in this way, that mind will tell you proper things. Alignment. There is a system that we should set up within ourselves. And we should follow that system if we want to be free from material grips. And if you want to be free from the effect of material nature, modes of material nature, the subject here is of passion and ignorance. It's very technical and it works. That's what is Bhakti Yoga. And inside you, you're not alone. The super soul, Paramatma, is situated. So there is not just you and your mind and your intelligence and your desires, etc. Right very close to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as Paramatma. Paramatmeti cha apiyukto dehe asmin purusha paraha upadrashta anumanta bharta bhokta maheshwara. He witnesses and sanctions everything that you deeply desire. Again, it's according to what you desire. Even the Lord, He will subject Himself and give you what you say so. But consistently, constantly, He exposes you to proper judgment. He exposes your intelligence to what is right and what is wrong. And He never steals away your individuality. He never takes away your personal volition. He always wants you to, on your own, exercise your desire, exercise your individuality, and exercise your intelligence, and desire and make decisions. He has high respect for your individuality. You must understand who God is. He's a very sophisticated person. He deals only in the realm of love, which is even beyond greater than respect and awe. So out of great respect, He brings in front of you many different situations to influence your decisions. It doesn't force you. He says, this is the right thing. This is how the Pandavas did it. This is how Prahlad did it. This is how Radharani does it. This is how the gopis do it. I request you also to follow that. He told Arjuna, Kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvai purvattaram kritam. O Kaurava, O Arjuna, please do like that. Like in the past, many great personalities did and achieved success. He is asking Arjuna to do it that way. And Arjuna asked so many questions, he gave all answers. Then he is influencing. This is the right thing to do for you. Not about good, not about bad, but about transcendence, about devotion. This is the right way to tackle this. Otherwise you will get lost. Don't depend on the mind. The modes of material nature affect the mind, and the product that comes out of the mind when it is tapped by modes of material nature is not to be relied upon, Prabhupada says here. He says that you cannot rely on persons who are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. And almost everybody in this world is like that. Everybody. This is how it operates. Mostly people stop with the mind. Actually, the mind is influenced by Prakriti. This is where the connection between Prakriti and you comes. You are influenced by the modes of material nature. Nibadnanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyayam. That's why intelligent people know what's happening, why this thought is coming. And they quickly work with intelligence and throw it out. And they bring in the right thought. This is what is yoga. Yoga means consciously monitoring your thoughts, desires, keeping them connected, association with Krishna, and you will ward off material influence. No rajas, no tamas. It's constantly, vigilantly engaged. That is why there is something called sadhana, because you are not able to on your own do it. You subject yourself to a regulation. That's sadhana. I know this is good for me. On your own, on my own, I will be weakened to do this. Therefore, I subject myself to the regimen. Get up early in the morning. Whether I like it or don't like it, I don't listen to my mind. I do it. Because by intelligence, I know from the scripture, this is the right thing for me to do, to put me in the mode of goodness. So I do that. So repeatedly we are beating the mind. Repeatedly we are going against the influence of material nature on the mind. It's a war. It's a fight. Some people can't take it. They become tired. They give up. I give up to you. But you're lost. It's not actually comfort. It's simply seeming material comfort which will actually implicate you in further material affairs and further forgetfulness of yourself and the Lord, and in this way make you perform and commit certain activities which will make you suffer again. It's the whole program. So that is why an intelligent person, he knows what's happening to him, how is the program functioning, what is the mechanics, from where direction is coming. He knows the hierarchy inside. Material nature, that is why you are under the influence of material nature, Prabhupada said, it's he can never become transcendental. See, he says here, these dirty things of fruit to work and embryonic philosophy can be removed only with association. The Lord being omnipotent, thus persons who are unable to pin their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute are given a chance to associate with His Virat Rupa. So this is the key. This is the moot question. From where it starts? By association. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmashu. Association with the gunas, very subtle they operate. It's not that somebody is going to start, I am Mr. Tamoguna, I am going to operate on you now. It doesn't work like that. Excuse me, I am Rajoguna, I am going to jab you from the side. Ah, I know you're going to come, I'm ready. It's not like that. It's not a war like that. This is a deadly war. Very subtle, very fine. You're programmed into it. It slips into it. It's like a virus that slips inside, into you, within the program. And you can't make out where it is. If you search with the mind, you don't know. It's right inside the mind. It's the mind itself. Very deadly enemy. So that's why Krishna is saying, mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. You cannot overcome my maya. Forget it. You don't have the capacity. Only me. If you depend on me, I will take you out of it. So this imprisonment is very deep. It's not a physical imprisonment inside a jail. That is very low class and unsophisticated. This is very high class sophisticated prison. You are programmed to think in a particular way. And you do that very faithful to Maya. And you are trapped. You don't go out of it. So therefore Krishna is saying that if you follow me, my instruction, you will get out of this. And so here Shukadeva Goswami and Parshuram have very interestingly discussed after this also, the Lord in the Heart chapter, how the super soul is involved very deeply. If you desire like this, then the super soul witnesses and sanctions your desires. But if you desire to get out of this tabernacle, this situation, then the same super soul will help you to get out. So you have to take advantage. Human life means taking advantage of these things. Taking advantage of Krishna, He is offering it to you in the heart. Everything else is external. Every other emotional thing, anger, lust, greed, all that stuff is all a byproduct of this internal thing. If a person is fixed properly in that, then he is victorious. That is why the question here is about what are the deep desires in my heart? Do I recognize it and do I acknowledge it? How can the deep thing, dirty things in the person's mind be removed means, first you must identify them. That's why I said if you have identified it, you have gone one step ahead. You may still have not got it out, but you have diagnosed it. It's like somebody is sick and they don't know what makes him sick. Sometimes the doctor prescribes some medicine, it doesn't work. 1 week is over. Still there is, you know, temperature, there is this, there's that, everything. So he re-diagnoses. He takes a blood test. He takes a stool test, urine test, that, this, everything. This is what it is. He makes out. Because unless he diagnoses it, what is the sickness? He cannot treat. Till then, whatever he treats, it's not possible for him to affect it. So therefore, just diagnosing and understanding that there are dirty things in the heart is a great step. Because most people identify with those dirty things. They are happy with it. They go and surf the net to get more and more dirty things inside. They go and associate with people, I like this, the dirty stuff. Because they think that is good. The understanding of what is good and what is bad for you, that should be clarified first. So as long as you have identified, this is bad for me, you are on the good track. Next, you will be assisted by the same Supreme Lord as Super Soul in the heart, if you so desire to remove it. This is called Anartha Nivritti, becoming free from anarthas in the heart. And they go to all sorts of levels because they are so deep and subtle. So Prabhupada is speaking about anarthas in the heart means fruitive work and empiric philosophy. These are the dirty things. These sound very big words. Fruitive work is a dirty thing. And everybody is engaged in that in this world. Work for fruit is called fruitive work. I do my work, I get money. And that money, I enjoy. Work, earn money, enjoy. Work, earn money, enjoy. This vicious cycle is very horrible, dirty thing. You must not work for getting money, which only a Shudra does. Even a Shudra is not given money. He's given necessities. But I think these people are worse than Shudras, who work for money and then utilize the money for sense gratification. That is a dirty thing. Why? You may say in the modern economy, they'll say, why? Completely discouraging thing you're speaking. Our economy should go ahead. People should work. They should contribute to India going forward, GDP increasing. And we should do that, we should do this. These are all very external calculations. But in spite of the GDP going up, many other P's are coming down. Many other things are coming down. That they are not able to measure and see. It's very external measurement. So, fruit to work is what is highly encouraged. You work and get money. No problem. Do business, do that, do this, make money. Pay your income tax. Any amount you can earn. Keep it, it's to your credit because you've done it out of your hard work. But that is a great contamination for a person pursuing spiritual life. It puts a great impediment. Everything he does, he wants a fruit. Everything he does, he will not recognize doing devotional service to the Lord because he knows he will not get any result, fruit. But he will be very interested in serving demigods because he will get fruit. That Krishna calls less intelligent. Yamidam, what is that shloka? Alpamedasha. How does it start? Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasha. Therefore, they are less intelligent. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita directly states that whatever you do in the material world as of today, in terms of economy, is low intelligence. Antavattu phalam tesham. For the sake of getting a fruit, they worship the demigod. That is why they are of low intelligence. Which means higher intelligence is something else. Higher intelligence means serving, understanding that I am spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna and serving Him with no returns, asking for no returns. Simply evoking your loving feeling and serving. Prabhupada gave the example of a mother who is looking after her kids and how she gives unconditional love to the children, not asking for any return. I cooked and gave you food today, no? I brought you a new frock, no? Give me something in return. She never asks like that. I gave you milk, give me something in return. No. Unconditionally, she gives out of affection, one way. That is considered to be very glorious for the soul. Very highly motivating, rejuvenating, and bringing out the real personality of the soul. Because that is our relationship with God. Fruitive tendency actually kills our devotion to Krishna. When a person is thinking of getting a return, there is no true love. I'm expressing my love to you so that you may give me something in return. Enjoyment of the senses or material benefit this way, that way. All that is called lust. All that is called lust. So this fruitive tendency is very dangerous. That's why in Krishna consciousness devotional service, we try to render pure devotional service. I am asking for nothing. I sweep the floor of the Lord's temple with no feeling inside me, with just that feeling I am your eternal servant. Thank you for giving me this service that I may express myself as your servant. I need nothing in return. Na janam, na dhanam, na sundarim, na kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mamajanmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahituki tvayi. Very nicely expressed this sentiment. Absolutely no fruit I want. I just want to be given the opportunity to do this seva for you. Forever. Janmani. That's all. This actually is highly intelligent prayer. Compared to antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedasham. Prayer means everybody thinks you should ask for some fruit. Come in front of the Lord, my Lord, lottery ticket I should get, my Lord, my daughter should get married so and so, my Lord, my son should get this job, my Lord, I should get this contract, my Lord, I should get, please, all your mercy if I get it. And the demigod gives it. And then you think, I believe in God. It's actually very business-like. It's mercantile relationship, Prabhupada explained. It's a business relationship. But the higher sophisticated relationship is to simply serve the Lord out of love, just like a mother serves a child. Pure love. And the child is stuck to the mother because of that pure love. Years and years later also, the child is always thinking of that. My mother did this to me. I'll never forget. Because of pure love. Same way, Krishna, out of pure love for you, has done so many things for you. You just have to learn to see it. That's the meaning of the personal conception of God. When a person has got an impersonal conception of God, he's simply trying to get something out of God. It's impersonal. That's one thing. Fruitive. then the impersonal philosophy, as we commented upon. Looking at the Lord in an impersonal way is very common. Depersonalizing the Lord is advantageous to us, because we are not charged with the responsibility of a relationship. Very cunning, this conditioned soul is. Actually, everybody knows exactly what he is doing. When he even speaks impersonal philosophy, that is his desire. He has rationalized his situation into such a comfortable position that his philosophy is depersonalization of the personal God whom he knows exists personally. And he takes effort to depersonalize God. Therefore, he is not charged with the responsibility of developing a relationship with God in yoga. He is explaining away bhakti yoga and taking a position wherein he can relate, or rather deal with God. One thing is dealing, one thing is relating. Deal with God. Where is my supply? Why you didn't give me this? I did these things, no? I followed the Vedic this thing and I did all these things. Where is my result? Cha cha cha. Can't believe in you if you do this. So they depersonalize God and deal with Him in a different way. I want to become like you. I want to merge with you. I can do that only if I depersonalize you. I want something from you. But if I have a personal relationship, I can't get my selfish material interests through you. Because that relationship will, you'll embrace me with that relationship and I can't exercise my material desires. It's very tricky. With the demigods, you can have such type of a business relationship. But with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like with your mother, you can never have a business relationship. Why? Because of your existing personal relationship. She'll always say, my son, and she'll overcome you with her personal relationship. And if you even try to deal with her in a business way, she'll give it away. Yeah, you take it. You take everything. All my property you take. And this way you become indebted and charged with the responsibility of relating with her personally. You don't want that. That is the problem. So the weight and the burden of a personal relationship in conditioned state, in a material state, when you're filled with material desires, it becomes a burden. Therefore, you depersonalize. This is how we deal with people also. Task-oriented behavior means you want something be done by them. Experienced people, you'll see in Prabhupada's dealings, when he wants something done by his disciple, he's giving clear instructions. This is nonsense. Don't do it like this, like this, like this. He gives a task. In the same letter, he'll give a very personal instruction. What you're doing is correct. It's wonderful. It will satisfy Guru and Krishna very much. I'm very happy. In the same letter, he will give a, this is nonsense. Don't do it like this. This is the way to do it. Two things in the same letter. And they don't contradict each other. And the person who gets that instruction is able to understand it very nicely. So it's a challenge, especially when we run an institution, to be personal but not become impersonal when you deal with institutional stuff. This is a big challenge. But these are dirty things in the heart. So therefore, a devotee will mature, he will get intelligence from the Lord in the heart. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. I will give you intelligence by which you will come to me. I'll walk you through if you desire it. So it's about deep desires in the heart. So we should know, what do I harbor as my main desire in the heart? Many times we fail to even come in grips with what is our real desire. What's inside me? What am I aspiring for? You should touch it and make it very clear. You see, Amogha, he actually was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house to eat, after he had completely surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great ecstasy of bhakti, then he came. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to make all things ready. This son-in-law of his, I think son-in-law, he would always make horrible dirty comments. And so he didn't want him to come and be there when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his house eating prasadam. So he invited Lord Chaitanya and he made amazing preparations offered to Krishna. And there was one other arrangement he had made, which is very peculiar. He had put a big stick on the entrance. Big stick. And that was for keeping away his son-in-law. If his son-in-law comes, he said, I'll take this and beat the hell out of him. I'll chase him out of here. He had kept the stick ready. And he had made all these preparations. And Lord Chaitanya said, what amazing preparations you have made. If anybody can make such type of preparations and offer it to the Lord, janme janme chire dharun tanhara charana, life after life I'll place his feet on my head. Shri Jagannath Paladev Shubhadramai ki. Such wonderful offering you have prepared. He was praising. Then next he commented that, I am a sannyasi, I cannot eat all these things. Put a little bit of this, little bit, and then take a little bit of this along. Give me only the, you know, khichdi and that type of stuff. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya made him sit down and said, I know who you are. I know how much you can eat. How much you eat in the temple. Chapan bhog you eat. How much Mother Yashoda feeds you. And how Sachi Mata feeds you. I know what you can eat. Simply don't try to play tricks with me. Sit down. Eat. So Lord Chaitanya, completely overcome by the love of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, forcing him to eat, he sat down and he fed him, ate, and he got absorbed, talking and eating and feeding him. In came Amoga from the side and he didn't notice. Then he comes and says, wow, sannyasi eating so many things. He started commenting. Then immediately he got up out of his, you know, indulgence, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he said, rascal, you came here. And he took the stick and started chasing him with the stick. And he started saying all sorts of things and running. And Lord Chaitanya started laughing. Look at him chasing with the stick. And he was all expletives. He was speaking against, you rascal, you are that, you are this, and chasing him, get out from here. And he was running. But he felt very bad, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I had taken so much precaution to say that he will not come, but somehow he made it inside. So he came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I'm very, very sorry. He said, no, don't worry. Don't worry about that. He's a small boy. He doesn't know. Then Lord Chaitanya washed his hands, meal is over and all. Then he came and he said, Sarvabhauma. And he said, no, I called you here to hear all these things from this fellow. I invited you to my house and you have to hear all these things. It's horrible. I'm feeling very well. He said, don't worry. I am not affected by that. He is, after all, a young man. He's a small boy. He doesn't know. You should not think like this about him. But he did not excuse him, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, in the next day, he got cholera. Amoga. Very serious attack of cholera. And he was lying, almost going to die severely. Nobody to look after him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife decided, we will not go to see him for what he did. That rascal. They didn't go. Let him die. Let my daughter become a widow. He's telling this. Let him die. He just kept quiet. He won't go and see him. Then the news that he is going to pass away, because he's so sick and he's lying down half unconscious, came to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, quick, give me my chadar, I'm going. He left quickly walking all the way to Amoga's house, the son-in-law of Saravamvatacharya. He went to the house and then he went there and saw Amoga almost going to die. He put his hand on Amoga's chest and he said, "Amoga, wake up. Chant Krishna's name. The heart is a place where we should keep it very clean. We should not keep envy, lust, greed in the heart. That is a place for the Lord to reside. Amoga, chant Krishna's name." Amoga started getting up and he started chanting Krishna's name. Then he danced on his bed. Then he got down from the bed and danced with Lord Chaitanya inside the bedroom. Both of them danced Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He became completely alright. And he became totally pure. Because the Lord personally touched his heart and said, "I want to be there. Remove all these things. Why are you wasting your time keeping all these things in your heart?" And because of the Lord's mercy, but it was gone. And he became such a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he started dancing. Then he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and held his feet and said, "You have actually cleansed my heart. You have actually shown me mercy and helped me. Only because of you, I was able to give up this. I am eternally indebted to you." He held Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. This is Krishna. Even if you had something in your heart, in your mind, if you respond to Lord Chaitanya's instruction, he will clear it for you. If you sincerely want it outside your heart, then Lord Chaitanya recognizes that. He came personally to Amoga's house and he did this for him. Then he went to Saravamvatacharya's house. Then he told Saravamvatacharya. Saravamvatacharya said, "Why did you go to his house? He should have died. He should have died. He shouldn't have gone to his house." And Lord Chaitanya told him, "My dear Saravoma, you are like his father. You must not take what he has done seriously. You should give him your mercy. Amoga is hereafter clean. His heart is pure. He is chanting Krishna's names. You must give your full attention to him." So you see, if Krishna wants and if you desire, dirty things in the heart can be removed. It's only Krishna who removes it. But you are in such grips of material nature, on your own you are not removing it. Not because you chanted Hare Krishna, not because you got up in the morning, early morning and performed perfect sadhana, not because you read all the books of Prabhupada, not because you do your service perfectly, not because you do everything tack, tack, tack like this, is your success in spiritual life assured. It's because Krishna so desires. That is why Krishna is saying, "Mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite." So everything, we are very dependent on Krishna. You see, our Guru Maharaj once went to Prabhupada and said, "I am the most fallen, dear Srila Prabhupada, I am most," said, "you are most nothing. Everything most is Krishna only. You are not even most fallen. The fact that you think like that is wrong. You are most nothing." Very powerful instruction. Why do you think that you are most fallen? No, no, no. You are most nothing. Everything is Krishna. So sometimes we slip into these tracks. We should constantly be trying to see how I can remember Krishna. It's mentioned here. How to constantly remember Krishna. How constantly connect our service. I am doing this seva for the sake of pleasing Guru and Krishna. That is why the seva has come to me and I must execute it. Through this service, I get connection with the Supreme Lord in love and devotion. In this way, our service should not be disconnected from our Krishna consciousness. Then it will become a burden on you. You will think it's a burden. Prabhupada told us that I am giving you this deity worship, establishing temples, calling the Lord here to be present. But if you don't connect properly, and if you don't do this in the right mood of devotional service, afterwards you will think, my spiritual master has given me a burden to worship the deities. Galagraha has given me a burden on my neck to carry. Because every time we don't want to take a responsibility, don't want to accept a burden, don't want it, is because of the fact that we are seeing it different, disconnected from Krishna. See? Then when it becomes fruit work, what will I get from this devotional service? Then only I will do. Otherwise I will not do. Otherwise, out of love when you do, you want to do any amount of service. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was 24 hours thinking about what to do, how to do, hardly sleeping. And never thinking that I am working so hard, I should take rest, I should go for a swim, I should go and, you know, do this, I should go and do that. And he had the energy to do it. Because for him everything he was doing was connected directly. And he's doing it for the sake of Krishna, nothing for me. I'm not asking for any credit. I'm not asking for any recognition. I just want to be given an opportunity to do for you. It's the opposite of fruit to work. Because of a personal loving feeling towards Krishna, I'm willing to take any amount of hardship if it pleases you. And it is great thrill and ecstasy for me to take hardship and go ahead and do it for you. That's the other side of devotional service. So sometimes when we are struggling with devotional service and considering in many different ways to do, not to do and all that, we should also know that that is not the perfect healthy state. That's why here it is mentioned to remove the dirty things in the heart. As this, Shrinavatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Sukrit Satam. We keep hearing about Krishna, we keep hearing about the activities of great devotees like Srila Prabhupada and their devotional service by reading his life history. We keep hearing about Krishna and his devotees, how they rendered service under dire circumstances. And in this way we get inspired to do devotional service. And then we perform devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna only. You see, samsiddhir hari toshanam. For satisfying Hari alone I perform. Then gradually all these mala in the heart will disappear. And pure love for Krishna will become established. So there are numerous instances like that. Where Krishna himself is directly helping to remove all the dirty things in the heart. And that Krishna promises, if you so desire eagerly, then I offer myself. I will personally help you to cleanse yourself. Om Tat Sat. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nirantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.